Yes, we're there. Hallelujah. Just a couple of things as I was thinking about today is those words of "You are a good, good father." Is "I am pleased with you and you will never be alone." He is a good, good father. And what we're about to talk about this afternoon, God willing, I believe for people whose circumstances are great, it's a message for you. Especially if we don't know Jesus Christ today. It might be great for you. Things might be going well. But if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your personal Lord and Savior, can I tell you, you're bankrupt. You're bereft of anything decent in your life. Let me assure you of this. I make no apologies for that. Secondly, it's a message for us today. If we're going through something that's incredibly painful and we feel like we can't go on, let me tell you today, I'm going to introduce you to one who I know, who no matter what our circumstances, he is our shelter, he is our refuge, he is our rock, he is our mighty man of war. He is invincible. I remember it said when Floyd Mayweather and Ricky Hatton were having their first boxing match, and we were all over in Las Vegas, went to the boxing match, and it said they were both undefeated, and it said somebody's O has got to go. Do you know what? Jesus Christ, his O will never go. From eternity to eternity, he will be undefeated. He is one who we can completely trust. No matter what, whatever our circumstances say to us, good, bad or ugly, we can trust in his leadership. Amen for that. Amen. That was nothing to do with what I was planning on saying. That was all for free, that. Should we just take up the offering now? They've got to pay for my private jet and everything. So if we have our Bibles with us today, if not, why not? Let's turn to Psalm 91. Shout amen when we're there. Psalm 91. Hey, see, Sandra thinks she's clever now. She was there first. Hey, you're like me this morning. I was saying to Karen, I was coming to the study this morning. And I was looking for Psalm 91. I couldn't find it. And I realised I was looking in the New Testament. I know God works miracles, but that one wasn't working, was it, Bessa? Right, Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The shelter is God's presence. So King David is saying, when I come into God's presence, when I place my trust in God's presence, when I trust his leadership over my life, I will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will be at peace. I will be fully content. I will be fully satisfied, nothing lacking in life, as I rest in God's presence under the shadow of his wings. Do you understand? Do I understand? The theologians who are in here, they get it already, Margaret. The shadow. Does that not denote, speak to us, that if I am going to be in the shadow of Andy, I have to be close to him? Yeah? Yeah? Close. close. Are we understanding what we're saying? To come and dwell in God's presence, to stay there, and to be covered by the shadow of his presence means we have to be close to him. We can't do it at a distance. We're going somewhere, aren't we? Promise you. King David was serious about this. He said in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I desired, that will I seek." What does it say? "To dwell in the house of my Lord and to gaze upon his beauty." To come into his presence and to feel the embrace of his presence enveloping us. He was serious about this. Do you know so much when he decided to provide? He said in Psalm, "I will get no sleep until I provide a dwelling place for my God." Do you know how serious he was about this? So when he built the temple, or when Solomon built the temple, but he gave Solomon the resources to do this, out of itself, it says, his own personal wealth. I've got a friend who worked out all these talents of silver and gold and all the materials that went into it. He's a mathematical boffin and he's from America. Do you know how much it cost to build the temple? Three people, throw, be lavish in your figures. How much did it cost? Pardon? So somebody said 10 million, somebody said 3 billion. Jude's on the right path. One more figure. 5 billion. So it was 110 billion US dollars. 69 billion English pounds. Do you think King David was serious about this? He wasn't speaking out of the top of his hat. Now, why is he saying this? Why is he saying, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty"? The closeness of his presence. And the shadow talks about his protection. So as we come close, as we dwell in his presence, we have the shadow of his protection on our lives, all the days of our lives. Do you know? Nothing can touch us in the end. Nothing. Now the key is it. I can hear somebody saying to me now, "You don't know what I've been through." I might not know what you've been through, but I know what I've been through. And the thing we can do in this is look with the eyes of eternity, not just with the eyes of this life now. He set the picture. Now, we're not so sure. I am talking about King David here. Now, some of the people who are the theologians and the scholars will say there's an argument about who wrote Psalm 91. So a number of people say it was actually written by Moses. But one of my kind of theological heroes, Matthew Henry, attributes this psalm to King David. And because King David is one of my very favourite people, if not the most favourite person in the Bible, it was King David who wrote it. Until Moses, when I'm in heaven, tells me, "Sorry, Paul, it was me." And I say, "I still don't believe you." So I'm attributing this to King David. We understand what he was talking about when he was saying about dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. We'll rest and be at peace in the shadow of the Almighty. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." When we shared from Psalm 142 a few weeks ago, we heard what King David went through on this journey of becoming king of Israel. He is talking as a man of experience here in what it means to make God your refuge and your fortress. My God in whom I trust. If there is anybody here today who thinks, "My God in whom I can't trust," you're mistaken, my friend. I can say, "In whom my God I trust." Anybody who knows the journey Karen and I have walked in life will understand we're not talking out of our, I nearly said something else then, talking out of the top of our hats. Thank you for rescuing me, Lord. Surely he will, so verse 3, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence." The fowler's snare is something that was used to catch the birds and other prey. And from deadly pestilence. Let's try and put it in other situations. People who are plotting against us. People who desire harm against us. King David, whether it's David or Moses, were acquainted with the fowler's snare and deadly pestilence. In many times in his life, he had people pursuing his life, out to ruin his reputation, out to ruin his calling. People would set traps for him unawares. But he was saying, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He'd realized a key to living a successful life in God. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. So we have a picture here. He will cover you with your feathers. Is it like a hen? Did Jesus in Jerusalem not say that I wanted to gather you like as a hen to myself? But instead they sent him to the cross. And he said this with tears in his eyes. And under his wings you will find refuge. So we see like Helen, a mother hen with her children. You will find refuge. It's a safe place. It's a place of compassion. It's a place of gentleness. But listen to this as well. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. This refers to a man in full armor ready for war. So we can snuggle up with this hen and be safe. But let anybody come near us. Let anybody come. Let any snare, let any pestilence come anywhere near God's chosen, who make the choice to call him their abode and their dwelling. And do not depart from that. Do not lean on their own understanding, but put him first. They will encounter this warrior, this man of war. So we know the gentleness and the compassion of God. Anybody comes for us, they will bump into this man of war. He's not going to end good for them. We can trust in him. My God, in whom I trust. How many of us may have not had good fathers? Can I apologize for that? But he is a father. He is a good, good father in whom we can trust. He will look after us and guard us with his life, so much so he laid his life down upon a cross for us. Anybody comes near us and he will fight for us. Nothing will come near us. Just like the analogy, how many people would think Andy B is rock hard? Put your hands up. How many people put their hands up because they know what he does? There you go. So not let's put your hand up. So how many would think Andy is lovely and gentle? Virtually all of them, Andy. But the thing is, if you don't know, he's a 3-dan black belt. Okay? He's a father. And he can wrap those feathers around his children. And he can be gentle and compassionate. He can let me sit on his knee. But anybody comes anywhere near, I can sit on his knee now, but if I'm coming for his own, we're going to find something else out, aren't we? My God in whom I trust. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. No matter what's going on around us, whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High, in the presence of God, King David here was talking and referring to the Holy of Holies, the very place where God resides and his presence, his holiness, his majesty. In the shadow of the Almighty, there may be 1,000 to the right, there may be 10,000 to the left. I've not bored you already, have I, James? Take care, Sharon. God bless you. But what he's saying here is this. What he's saying to us today is whatever's going on around us, don't pay attention to that, but look up to him. Look to the dwelling place of God. Be under the shadow of his presence and do not fear. Do not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. My God, in whom I trust. Why? Why do we not need to fear who's falling by us? You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Do you know 1,000 fall to your side and 10,000 fall to the other? It can actually be people who know Jesus as well. We're going to go somewhere in a minute. Then he moves from talking in regards to this confident proclamation in regards to himself. Whoever dwells, we've just read this, I'm not going to keep repeating myself. He then moves to us. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling. Isn't it interesting just before when he says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, surely he will save you. It says, he will cover you with his feathers. It says, you will not, when you make me your dwelling place, you will not. Not maybe, or I have an idea, you will not. And I give my life for it. We can trust him. He is a good, good father. If you say, isn't it interesting how I read this? If you say, the Lord is my refuge. Do you know something? I believe this. I believe there is a condition with the promise. And that is if we say, but we also live that by our lives. Not just with our words, but every single moment of every single day. I will say, the Lord is my refuge, and I will make the Most High my dwelling. It says, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you. Am I saying today, if we look at John chapter 15 here, this wasn't planned, by the way. Thank you, darling. Eric said he was going to phone me 5 minutes beforehand as a warning. See if he tells the truth or not. Thank you. John chapter 15. So in what we've been talking to, I believe it can be related to this as well. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. The word there also is abide in me, which is ketamena, which means to have permanent residence in, never to depart. Why? Why is he saying this? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Are we getting the picture here? This was the final conversation Jesus Christ had with the disciples before he went to the cross. Was he talking about, did they say, teach me how to preach? Teach me how to church plant? Teach me how to lead people to Jesus? Teach me how to get £1 million? I listened to a sermon recently and the preacher was, how to get your first $1 million. What a load of poppycock. That's putting it nicely. I hope I'm not in trouble for that. Abide in me. You can do nothing apart from me. Are we getting where we're going here? About him being the dwelling place. About him being our life. Abide in him. Never leave from him. Make him our refuge. Not our ministry. Not our reputation. Not our money. Not our car. Not our clothes. Not our past, but him. Abide in him. Make him our refuge. Let him be the very breath. Let him be our magnificent obsession. Do you know this God is filled with fiery, burning desire for us? And he longs that we abide in him because he desires to have relationship with us. Why does he want us to come under the shadow of his wings? Because he desires to look after us. He desires to love us. He knows that's the best place for us to be. And he knows it's the only place we can bear fruit in this life and in the life to come. Amen. Let us come to God in prayer. We're going to finish with this. I'm missing a little bit out here. You will tread, verse 13. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. The lion and the serpent. We can talk about circumstances in life. Does it say that nothing? It says no evil will overtake us. It doesn't say we won't have problems in this life. Can I tell you some heroes I have in life? Shazza, for one. A warrior. We know who she is. Enough said, isn't it? Yeah? My God, my refuge, my fortress in whom I will trust. How she's got to this point, we don't know, other than knowing God and abiding in him and trusting his good leadership for our lives. Elizabeth Elliot was a missionary to the Apau Indians. And it came about by the death of her husband at first. So the Apau Indians, I apologize, Barbara. The Apau Indians murdered her husband. And God sent her to these Indians. Do you know the scripture she read? She got married a second time and her husband died of cancer. Do you know what she read as her comfort? Psalm 90. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. So we now move from what we need to do. God himself is speaking to us now. Because he loves me, those who love me will obey me. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So not only does this amazing God rescue us, forgive us, heal us, he actually brings us to a place of honor where our lives become a blessing to others, where our lives magnify who this amazing God is to others. Can I tell you something today? I could have given up at one point. And we were in a coffee shop today. And I've just got something in my mind. And I'm just praying. And I said, Lord, what do you want to do with this message today? And the coffee shop owner pops into my mind. And I said, Lord, I just start praying for Rachel. I said, Lord, I just pray that you bless her. Lord, I pray you make yourself real to her. Lord, do you know what? We're going to go for a coffee today. Karen will tell you this. We sit down talking. She comes and starts saying, tell me about this church of yours again. Blah, blah, blah. 5 minutes later, I'm just going speaking to my husband. I'm coming today. She didn't come in then, but she's coming. Can I tell you something? I won't swap anything I've been through. To miss out on opportunities where it says, I will honour him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Can I tell you something? When we can see life through the eyes of eternity and not through now, and we go through hard things or we go through easy things, long life does not mean in regards to the number of years we live. We might only live 25 years, but that is God's plan. But it's been a long life, and I'll be satisfied. I'm 45 years old. If I die tomorrow, I'm satisfied. If I go through troubles, if it's the snare, if it's pestilence, if it's death, can I tell you something? It's great because it's gain for me. When I was in Africa last, Karen doesn't know this, by the way, somebody held a gun to my head and said, are you going to deny Jesus? I said, my friend, you do not scare me. You give me the greatest gift because I'm going to meet my Lord and Saviour. Sorry that Karen gets to know that right at this point. Why is this important? No matter what we're going through today, he is the God who we can trust. His promises can be relied upon. Let us be in that place where we abide in him. Never depart. To have permanent residence in, we will have the shadow of his protection. Does it mean that we don't go through stuff? We've gathered and we understand we go through stuff. But if we have eternity as our perspective, we ultimately, as it says here, and show him my salvation, we will ultimately be saved. We will be in glory with him forever. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. And the last thing on that. At the end of John 15, chapter 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Do you know what this is all about? When we come to him and make him our refuge and our fortress. And it moves his heart when we do this. It thrills him. We're saying, God, you're good, and I trust your leadership. I trust you better than I trust myself. Nothing else can guarantee safety in my life. Nothing else can guarantee blessing and peace and fullness in my life. Nothing. But what I live for is your glory, God. Because when he is most glorified in us, we are most satisfied in him. We will bear fruit. Do you know this fruit is not about what we do now, but it will last for eternity to eternity to eternity. One good word we say to somebody, one bad word lasts for eternity. One good word we say, one moving of our hearts towards him saying, God, you are good and I trust in your leadership. And I'll follow you all the days of my life. I will never leave your presence. It lasts for eternity. When it says you just give a cup of water in my name, it lasts for eternity. You will bear much fruit. God, whatever comes our way, I'm going to take it. I'm going to stay with you. I'm not giving up because, number one, I desire to glorify you in and through my life. God, I desire to bear much fruit and I desire to be blessed in the life to come. And why? Showing yourselves to be my disciples. There is a world around us, I care deeply about this, who do not know Jesus. And as we live to see him glorified in our lives and we're bearing fruit of love, other people will be drawn to Jesus Christ. As I started with at the beginning, if anybody today does not know their Lord and Saviour, it's a popular theme we may not hear talked about today in church, because we're politically correct. I'm not politically correct. Anybody who knows you will tell you. Is if we don't know Jesus, there's only one place, and that's eternal separation from him, and it's called hell. If you think you have hell on earth today, you know nothing yet if you die and do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. If you want to know him as your refuge and your fortress, you must surrender your life to him. You must make him number one. Do you wake up think, well, I know Jesus. I come to church on a Sunday. I help with the kids or I do this. No. Do you wake up thinking about him? Is he your occupation during the course of the day? Do you go to bed thinking about him and thanking him and praising him? If not, I want to ask some questions. If you do not know him, and if there is anybody here today who says, do you know what? I've trusted in other things and I've got myself into a mess. I need help. Let us pray for you today. Guys, thank you so much and God bless you. Amen.